Hey everybody, this is our next topic, which is deals what we call short-range tees. And you'll see there's two charts here, and I'll go into the explanation of them. It might be worthwhile at this point to talk about the relationship between the short-range tee time symmetries here and the mega tee time symmetries, which we just discussed. And the first topic was the advanced decline tee time symmetries. If you look at them, you'll see that they're all similar and that we're looking at the left side of a tee as a cache buildup phase, and then we say that that's usually in the lower portion of the picture. And then we say that gathers up money and it fuels a rally which will last the same amount of time in the price domain, and that's what we call a time symmetry. In the first picture here, this is from the 1996 time period. You see that I have the cache buildup line, which is descending tops in an oscillator. I filled in the oscillator underneath with green paint, and that's supposed to be indicative of the money that's being built up in that time period as a suggestion for why they have this rally in the right side. It's the fuel. And then we just say that when we draw a time symmetrical T that we pop that up. Now, when you consider all the three concepts, you'll see that they're very similar to each other, but they all look different. They qualify for a mathematical grouping, which is called fractals. And if you go to the Wikipedia, for example, and you look up fractal, you'll see that it's a mathematical progression that produces very complex patterns, which are like coastlines, and they get or clouds. Sometimes the patterns in plants, they get the name fractal from the fact that it looks like something has fractured, like glass has been fractured, and they're very sharp. And if you've been in the stock market for any length of time, you'll notice that you'll observe that some of these trends in the S&P or the New York Composite Index in this first picture are very jagged looking. And the nature of fractals is that when you look at the big picture, you have a very simple relationship, which in this case is the time symmetry for the stock market examples, but in any other fractal example, it's a very simple thing that reiterates and it begins to burrow down into subsets. In the main picture, you look inside that very deeply, you'll see another family of things, of patterns that look similar, but they are, in mathematical terms, they're called self-similar. They're not exact copies of each other. They're sort of like family. They have a familiar look to them. It's like a mother and daughter, grandchild. There's a similarity in the gene pattern, but they're all different. Each person is different, but there is a sort of a family relationship. In terms of fractals, you think of the megatees, which can project the cache buildup phase into 10 to 20 year patterns as being the top category, and then you go to the first topic, which is the advanced decline tees. Now they could be any kind of a time span, but it would be sort of in the year. There's one in there that's 6 years, but generally you're talking about a year, somewhat more than a year, maybe 2 years, not much less than a year. And that's the next nest down, and you'll notice that they're just done simply in the advanced decline line. Well, within the advanced decline line in the 1990s period, I have picked out here a series of T's, and the title on the T is the center post date, and they are in the July starting July 75, and they go up to the 1996 period. And they are basically what you would see if you looked inside of an advanced decline tee in that time period. This is what, now when you get to the smaller version, they get more interesting because you can see what you want to do is you want to buy the center post of these small tees, and then you want to dump something maybe when it says it's a peak. And under ideal circumstances, probably what you want to know. The problem, of course, is you don't know where the center post of the tee is, so you have to follow this cache buildup line down until you get into an oversold condition, kind of guess it, and then verify it coming out. But the point is that as you get deeper and deeper into these tees, it becomes more complicated, and the patterns become are more difficult to deal with because you have to keep finding the new center post of the tee. the pattern of behavior, it can be kind of strange. If you notice in the first tee, the New York Composite Index, actually it starts up slowly from the center post, and then it pops up all of a sudden to the right end of the July 95 peak. In the next tee, it goes pretty much straight up. Along with the next one, and the April 96 tee, we haven't shown it because it's presumably that's what they look like when you're waiting for the thing to develop. So there exists inside of those tees another family of tees which are even smaller, but which you have to, if you get into TradeStation, sometimes you can see those on. And I'm not going to cover that here because that becomes get very 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 complicated very fast. So anyway, that's the story on the fractal nature of tees and the fact that you are burrowing down into the trend to try and get successively more resolution as to what's going on in order to gain some advantage. Now, on the bottom chart here, we have a more modern plot in another program that I wrote, and it deals with the beginnings of the bull market starting from the early March low, and the blue oscillator at the bottom is what we call the volume oscillator, and that is basically a McClellan oscillator of the type which uses net volume numbers rather than advanced decline information. If you go to their site, you'll see that they plot the advanced decline one, which is known as the McClellan oscillator. They also do a volume one. But in any case, that oscillator has a lot of interesting properties, and one of them is if you draw the declining tops trend line, which is the green line going into the early March low here, and you count those number of days, you project that when that line is broken, that the S&P, which is the bar chart above, will rally from the center post, and it will top out at the right end of the T. It's very similar to the ones up at the top there. And at that point, the S&P stops rising, and you enter a period which is printed with the blue word GAP, gap, meaning there's a gap between the last projected top, which was the first bull market T, and the center post of the next T. Now, while you're going up in the S&P 500, you see the oscillator is falling off, so it's starting to make a new cash buildup phase, which is a very common property. And when you finally get down to an oversold condition, we see that just recently in July, that pattern was broken to the upside, and so we're in a new T. And if you go to my website, it'll show you some of the details, but the new T is supposed to come out with a top date in the mid-October time period. So that's what the story of the short-range Ts are, is as long as you just stay with the short-range Ts. Because everything is very complicated in what's going on here, there are two other indicators that are that are added in which are worth knowing about, and which is the reason that this subject is going to be complicated. At the bottom of the chart, you'll see three blue arrows rising, indicating that there's a rising bottom pattern in the blue volume oscillator, and the letters ACC, which I've used in all my writings to mean accumulation. And what it is, it's the lessening of the downside momentum in an oversold condition, which leads you to believe that there's a turning action coming in the market. So it's an early warning that the market is starting to turn, and if you can find those patterns, then you have you're going to gain good insight into when you're going to be in the center post T turnaround is going to occur, and therefore you get closer to being able to buy just at the point where the T takes off. Just at the point the T takes off, the cash buildup is the maximum, so you have the maximum buying power on the sidelines, and you have the maximum time for that rally to last. So it just turns out to be, no matter how you figure it out, that's the best place to be. The person who was the best at ever finding the center post of T's was Marty Schwartz, because he used to run and look at these patterns. You can see back in May of 09, I didn't draw an arrow for a rising bottoms pattern, but you see there's a little wiggly W pattern there with a rising bottoms pattern. He used to be able to run, he kept the oscillators, and he had kept them for more than 10 years, plotting them out daily, and he would see that pattern as an impending rally. It wasn't a big rally, but that's what he was looking for. He was looking for sharp rallies to trade his S&P contracts. The other thing that I briefly mentioned in here is the red arrows that point straight up to zero, up to the zero line on the blue volume oscillator, and it says buy zero in red. And he told me one time, he said that, you realize that after you have the center post rally of a team, that things go back, that the next buy point is when it comes back to when the oscillator comes back to the zero line. I said, well, I didn't really understand. I had not noticed that. But he had researched this tool, and I will show you three completed buy zero indications. One of them is in December, where the oscillator peaked up in that peaked up in the early part of December, came down towards the end of the latter part of December, and touched the zero, made a little base on the zero line, and then it popped for the dots are days on that chart. So he popped up for about 5 days, thereby bringing the S&P 500 up to the black center channel line up in the picture. And then the next time when you started the March rally, you had a big rally, and then the oscillator fell back to the zero line in the latter part of the month, and that was then it popped up again, and that's another place to, and then you have another zero line at the end of April, which is another pop. Then the market kind of folds off. For this period of the early July rally, the oscillator has gone high. It's now starting to float around, and it's now coming down to the zero line. So when I pick up, if you pick up my discussion on the at the website where I tend to follow whatever's going on, which happens to be the pullback to the zero point here, where we are basically at the time I'm recording this, we're waiting for the zero line to be tested as a buy point. But by the time you read this, you probably be we'll probably be on to other things. But I'll follow up on that one, and that's pretty much what the story is. Now, you also see some channels in there. There's a I discovered that the market tends to be contained between the green line and the red line. These are adaptive channels. They're various people have different interpretations of that. Mine is quite a bit more sophisticated, I think, than the other the others, and it's based on energy equations that I wrote. And what they do is they purport to tell you where the market tends to run into tops at the red line, and it tends to run into bottoms at the green line. And you can use that. That's just another aid to solving this difficulty in trying to find the way to use these short-range Ts, because the pattern is becoming more complicated. There's a whole theory that's related to that, and that becomes one of our later topics. But I just wanted to tell you that that's another important adjunct into trying to figure out what's going on in these short-range Ts, which are very complicated but equally interesting. And you'll find that in the future we spend a lot of time on these, because this is where the short-term opportunities and risks are better played out. But for investment purposes, any of the longer-range ones are even more important from developing a strategy as to whether you even want to be in the stock market, or whether you want to be an intermediate-term investor going over for a lot of these, because a lot of these things is they're just minor wiggles and corrections in within an ongoing uptrend, which the bigger T will tell you is to see. For that reason, I would say that while these are the interesting things and they're necessary for traders and so forth, the advanced decline Ts, which is the first topic, is still the best way to look at the market. It gives you the best insight for a sane strategy, and then these would sort of be the refinement process that would help you find points where you want to buy something, where you want to buy something because you wanted to get into the flow of the bull market, or whether you wanted to lighten up because you thought you were having a correction or some other thing. Okay, that's it for this topic, and we'll be back, and we'll be headed to the next topic in the series after this pause. Bye-bye.